Come, let us worship together. Let us open our minds to the challenge of reason. Open our hearts to the healing of love. Open our lives to the calling of conscience. Open our souls to the comfort of joy. Astonished by the miracle of life, grateful for the gift of fellowship, confident in the power of living faith, we are here gathered. So come, let us worship together. Love alone diminishes not, but shines with its own light, makes an end to discord, softens the fires of hate, restores the peace of the world, brings together the sundered, redresses wrongs and injures none. Nor can that endure which has not its foundations upon love.
As I was preparing for this service today, I came across a song by Bernice Johnson Reagan of Sweet Honey and the Rock called Ella's Song. Had I found it earlier, choir, I would have got a copy to Mike. But it begins, it's very powerful, and it begins with, "We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mothers' sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mother's sons. We who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes." This is why we hang a banner. This is why we say, if one of us is not free, none of us are free. If one race is seen as less than the other, we cannot rest. Because in the words of Dr. King, all people are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be, and you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be. I invite you now into a time of silent meditation, prayer, or reflection, with these words from the Reverend Charles Gaines that remind us of the true importance of taking time to be silent. How quiet it is when we have the patience to be silent. How much we can learn in moments like these. We can learn how to have patience with ourselves, to better understand and like who and what we are. We can learn to have patience with others, to better listen to what they say and how they feel. We can learn to have patience with life, to better work with it rather than against it. How much do we need silence? Silence for truth, so that we may learn wisdom. Silence for wisdom, so that we may love. Silence for love, so that we may be just. Silence for justice, so that we all may live fully. May we be more patient and more silent, so that we may proceed with courage and compassion. like to share a reading with you from the essay by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., called A Testament of Hope, written half century more ago, but surprisingly relevant and speaking of our time, I think. Men of the White West, whether or not they like it, have grown up in a racist culture, and their thinking is colored by that fact. They've been fed on a false mythology and tradition that blinds them to the aspiration and talents of other men. They don't really respect anyone who is not white. But we simply cannot have peace in the world without mutual respect. There's no single answer to the plight of the American Negro. Conditions and needs vary greatly in different sections of the country. I think that the place to start, however, is in the area of human relations, and especially in the area of community-police relations. This is a sensitive and touchy problem that has rarely been adequately emphasized. Virtually every riot has begun from some police action. If you try to tell the people in most Negro communities that the police are their friends, they just laugh at you. Obviously, something desperately needs to be done to correct this. Yet very few cities have really faced up to this problem and tried to do something about it. It is the most abrasive element in Negro-white relations, but it is the last to be scientifically and objectively appraised. Perhaps it seems strange to hang our Black Lives Matter banner on Valentine's Day, a day when we celebrate love. And in our time, and since at least the Victorian era, it's been a holiday of cupids and romantic love celebrated by the giving of cards and flowers. Nothing wrong with that. But I don't think it really does justice to the memory of this ancient man whose life this holiday is supposed to celebrate. If we look at the life of this man who was named Valentine, later named Saint Valentine by the Catholic Church, we see that this should very much be a day when we celebrate love, but not really so much romantic love. Rather, the love and caring for our fellow human beings, even and especially those who are different from us. Valentine was a Christian doctor in ancient Rome at a time when Christians were being persecuted. He was known as a great healer. That's how he expressed his love for his neighbors. But not just his neighbors that were like him. Of course, he ministered to the Christian community there, but he also ministered to those who were his enemy. The daughter of his jailer was blind, and he cured her of the blindness, even though he was locked into jail and later killed by the Romans. His act was one of unselfish love, which in biblical terms we would call agape. The love for those who are different from us, even those who do us harm. The love that is the second half of what Jesus said was the entirety of the law as to how we should live our lives is expressed in the command, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jesus didn't invent that. He took it right from the Hebrew Bible's book of Leviticus, exact quote. This idea, love your neighbor as yourself, is at the core of both faith traditions. This morning, I want us to think about what that kind of love requires of us. I want you to notice on that banner is a heart. A heart to remind us, I think, that this is a conversation about love. I want to suggest to you this morning that loving your neighbor as yourself is really what that Black Lives banner hanging in front of our church is all about. Now, why do I say that? Well, what does it really mean to love your neighbor as yourself? I believe it means to practice justice towards all fellow human beings. It means to acknowledge that in every way we are equal, regardless of race or class or sexual orientation or gender identification or ableness or any other category. It means that we have to want and work for others being treated just as good as we are treated. And we have to do more than just quietly want equal treatment for them. We have to be advocates. We have to stand with people who are not treated the same as we are. Love your neighbor as yourself means truly believing that their life matters as much as yours does. And it means putting that belief into action. That's the kind of love I want to talk about on this Valentine's Day. It's the kind of love that we, as members of this faith tradition, are called to stand up for. The great author James Baldwin once wrote these words, "Because I love you, I have to make you conscious of things you don't see." That's why we here in Stowe hang that banner in front of our church. By doing so, we help make people conscious of something that they may not see. It's not easy to see racism, especially when you are in a largely homogeneous white community. What we need to be deeply conscious of, what is easy to put out of our minds because we don't want to believe it, is that black folks are not being treated in a way that says their lives matter as much as mine. I'm not talking about a few misguided or even hateful racist individuals. I'm talking about something much bigger and deeper and harder to see. What we're committing to do by raising a Black Lives Matter banner in front of our church is to address institutional racism. Racism so deep in the fabric of our society that sometimes it's hard to see. Racism that probably many of us thought was history with the success of the civil rights movements of the 1960s and all the legislation that followed, and especially with the election of a black president. I'm afraid that in our country, the truth is the real equality that is commanded of us in the words, love your neighbor as yourself, has a hidden caveat that we don't speak, but our society still in many ways acts in accordance with. That caveat is love your neighbor as yourself unless your neighbor is black. View and treat your neighbor as equal in every way and make the same presumptions about their actions and who they are as someone would make about you unless they're black. For the most part, this caveat is not something we as individuals intentionally or even consciously recognize we apply. No, it's a caveat that's built into the fabric of our society. It's something that is deep in our institutions. It's hard for a white person to see, but not for a black person. What I'm saying to you today is that at a society-wide level, at the level of our institutions, racism prevents us from loving our neighbors as ourselves. It prevents us from treating black folks in a way that truly affirms their equal worth and dignity. We've all been raised with these institutions, and of course we value them. And it's hard to say that they are fundamentally flawed. I know by hanging the Black Lives Matter banner, it will result in some criticizing us as anti-police. Now, on a personal level, as I've said before, those who know that I was an assistant DA for 8 years and worked with the police every day during that time, sometimes depending on them for my own safety, know that that is not the case. I am not anti-police. I am anti-racism. But most importantly, I've had a conversation with our local police chief, who fully understands and appreciates that this banner is not a critique by this church of his particular department, but it's a statement about our commitment to racial justice and equality in all institutions. Let's not forget that there are lots of great police officers, but at the same time, overall, black folks, and especially young black men, are not treated in the same way as their white counterparts. That's just fact. But thanks now to illuminating things like cell phone cameras, we have seen the effects of institutional racism in some police departments. In the news, we've watched the workings of the criminal justice system unfold, and in many recent cases, the lack of indictments and convictions and the lack of even prosecutions mount up, and it is impossible not to see that our system is tainted with racism. And certainly police departments and court systems are not the only places where institutional racism exists. But it is the place where the consequences of it are immediate and devastating. As Bernice Johnson Reagan reminds us in that song, we who believe in freedom, in equality, in justice, in the inherent worth and dignity of every person cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men, black mothers' sons, is as important as the killing of white men, white mothers' sons. We cannot rest until that is the case. I'm not saying that black individuals are the only individuals who we treat as if their lives matter less. And of course, we as a church do believe that everyone's life matters. And I know that this was on the minds of many of you at the meeting when we decided to hang the Black Lives banner. Several folks suggested that our banner should read, "All Lives Matter." And who would object to that, right? Well, it turns out that when such banners, with the best of intention, had been brought by well-intended white folks to rallies, black people did object. And do you know why? It was because, once again, they felt like they just were not included in the word all. And that certainly isn't the first time. You know, you can go back to the very beginning of our country. The Declaration of Independence proclaims all men are created equal. And you know what? They weren't included in that all either. Black folks need to proudly proclaim for themselves that Black Lives Matter because they have felt time and again that their lives did not. They need to claim their dignity and worth. They need to speak out to the institutional racism that permeates this country. But so do we. All of us, white people, need to proclaim Black Lives Matter as a way of saying we get it. As a reminder to ourselves to do what we can to push our society to divest from the structural racism that taints so many of our institutions. Saying all lives matter is, of course, true, but it won't do this. You have to look it in the face. You have to say the words. You have to name who it is that's being left out of the all. So yes, this Valentine's Day, when we hang that banner, our focus is on love. We engage with this difficult topic, and it is a difficult topic, out of love. We challenge ourselves and those who pass by here and read our banner to really think about what that command to love your neighbor as yourself really means. It's in love we must have this conversation. Love that listens, a love that allows us to change ideas and to challenge institutions, A love that learns from those people who have historically not been included in the word all. I'm proud of our faith tradition because historically, most of the time when we saw those things we have not wanted to see, we have responded to the call to act. We're not perfect, but we have most of the time. One way we act is by giving witness, by opening the eyes of others to the problem, by saying that we stand with the oppressed. We stand on the side of love. You know, some will ask you why your church is doing this. They will be critical. But down deep, I think they know that it is what we all should be doing. It's what we must do. In the words of the spirituals that the spirits of the choir sang this morning, "Have courage, my soul, and let us journey on. Though the night is dark and we're far from home, thanks be to God, the morning light appears. The storm is passing over. Hallelujah." We're far from out of the darkness and storms of institutional racism. But right now, a new light is shining on it. Indeed, we must journey on. We must stand with those whose equal worth and dignity is denied. We must truly love our neighbors as ourselves. And that's what it means to stand on the side of love. And we, in our words and in our deeds, must proclaim that Black lives matter. Until the killing of Black mothers' sons is just as important as the killing of white mothers' sons. Our words of benediction come from one of my favorite theologians, Howard Thurman. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve, that in good times or in tempest, I may not forget that to which my life is committed. Keep fresh before me the moments of my high resolve.